Hi, everybody. My name is Carl Darden, and I'd like to welcome and thank all of you for joining us today here on Navy Sports Central. I am your host, and this is the official podcast of the Navy Sports Nation, where we take a deeper dive into Navy sports. In this episode, we're going to spend some time talking with a very special guest who plays one of the more popular club sports at Navy. And in fact, there's news that it could become the next varsity sport for both the men and the women very soon. We'll also have our sports update, question of the day, and I'll be giving you our two new athletes we'll be tracking during the winter on our midwatch. It's our last episode of 2021 on Navy Sports Central, so don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you are enjoying the holiday season and are getting ready for the new year. And whether you are a regular listener or checking us out for the first time, thanks for making us part of your day. All right, we've got a lot of really good stuff to talk about today, so let's not waste any time. But real quick, I did want to clear up one thing about a specific play in the Army-Navy game that has been brought up to me recently. And it actually occurred on the accidental fake punt that the mids converted into a first down early in the fourth quarter. I was exchanging emails with Brian Goodrow, who actually happens to be our class president, and he mentioned that the play clock had expired before the mids snapped the ball. I went back and looked, and he was right. It turns out that the play clock that we see on television, you know, that one that's right next to the score, it went to zero, and the ball was snapped about half a second later. And yes, I did time it just so I could see how big the difference was. Anyway, it may have looked like the mids got away with one, but there's actually a really good reason why that flag wasn't thrown. The official play clock is kept on the field by the back judge, and that's not exactly synced to the one we see on TV. So clearly there is a slight difference in what the back judge was looking at and what we saw on the screen. The other thing I wanted to point out is exactly when the back judge decides to throw the flag for delay of game. He watches the play clock counting down, and when it hits zero, he looks up to see if the ball's been snapped. If it has, the play goes on. If not, he goes ahead and throws a flag. So there's even just a fraction of a second lag between the time the clock hits zero and when the back judge looks up to see if the ball has been snapped. So there's your answer. It may have looked like delay a game, but it really wasn't according to the back judge. And in fact, there's another example of the same situation occurring when Army had the ball on their last drive. They snapped the ball just a fraction of a second after that play clock that we see had gone to zero. That's basically it. So if any of your Army buddies, you know, try to give any static over that, just go ahead and squash that discussion right away by sharing those points with them. All right, let's check and see what's going on with sports in the yard. Right after Army, it was finals week, so there's not a ton happening. But the women's basketball team did wrap up their non-conference schedule with a 73-59 win over Rider back on December the 12th. Jennifer Coleman led the way with 27 points and 12 rebounds. And I'm telling you, you can just basically pencil her in for a double-double just about every game. And we'll talk about her again later on in the question of the day. But she did have some help. Sydney Watts came through with 18 points on 7-11 shooting, including a couple of three-pointers. And Sierra Hurd Lindy chipped in with 11 points. That does it for the Mids non-conference schedule, and they'll be kicking off their slate of Patriot League games on December 29th against Holy Cross. All right, now let's check in with the men's team. They are currently 7-4, and their last non-conference game was against Towson on the 22nd. Unfortunately, they came out really flat on that one, just couldn't seem to get it together. In fact, John Carter Jr. rolled his ankle like 4 minutes into the game, and he never returned. After that, it was basically all downhill. Towson won that game pretty easily, 69-52. Historically, the Mids don't do that well in games played right after finals. I think they're like 1-4 over the last 5 years, and this was no exception. As a team, they shot 33% from the field and were only 8 of 21 from the free throw line. So they need to get that taken care of really quickly. Their first league game is on January 1st and is also against Holy Cross, so let's hope they've got things straightened out by then. Okay, now let's see what's going on with the wrestling team. They took on Maryland in College Park on the 11th and lost a really close match, 18-16. The Mids got off to an 8-0 start and had a couple of chances to close things out by winning one of the last four matches, but they just weren't able to do it. The Mids have another invitational coming up in a couple of weeks in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and their next dual meet is the following week on January 15th, I believe, against Lehigh. That's going to be a big one, by the way. And finally, I'm going to wrap things up with an update on one of the Navy club teams because it's a really big deal. The women's rugby team won the D1 National Championship, Now, you just heard me say that they're a club team, but they do go against Division I competition, and they are governed by the College Rugby Athletics Association. In the final, they went against Davenport University, their team actually from Detroit, Michigan, and they defeated them 24-12 to earn the title. So that makes four national championships for the Mids in 2021. Remember that the other three are in intercollegiate sailing, offshore sailing, and also lightweight rowing. And we're going to have a chance to learn more about the Mids' most recent national championship because our guest is someone who can give us an up-close and personal look at what that experience was like. Stay with us. Okay, we are back here at Navy Sports Central, and now it's time for our deep dive segment. Today, we're going to get into rugby, which is one of the more popular club sports at the Academy. Our guest is the co-captain of the women's team, the newly crowned national champions. She was also named the tournament MVP, by the way. And in addition to being the 21st company commander this past semester, she's one of the class of 22's best and brightest academically. So I am very, very pleased to welcome Sarah Skinner to the podcast. All right, Sarah, thanks for joining us here on Navy Sports Central. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. So, Sarah, the one thing I do want to know is, and I'm really curious about, is how you became a rugby player, because I know I'm the parent of a son who played basketball and my daughter played volleyball for a little bit, but I never saw any youth leagues for women's rugby. So I'm kind of curious how you first got interested and when do you decide to say, okay, hey, this is the sport I'm going to play?
Growing up, same thing. I had never really known anything about rugby, didn't see any youth leagues about rugby. The only thing I really knew about rugby was that one movie, Invictus. That was like my only kind of showing of rugby growing up. But going to the Naval Academy, as most people know, that you have to play a sport at the Naval Academy. That could be varsity, club sports, or intramurals. So I was looking for a new sport to play. I had played basketball and soccer growing up. But I wasn't thinking I was going to play that at the Academy. I was thinking of starting something new, thinking of boxing for a bit. But then when I got to the Academy on induction day, the first day of plebe summer, I was in alumni hall, you know, going through all this stuff. We got to the medical part, and I was just approached by a random officer who said, "Hey, I think you'd be good for the rugby team." Just out of the blue, had no idea who this one was. And I was like, "Yes, ma'am. Sounds good." And then when it came to the part where we had to choose a team, rugby was the first thing that came to mind because someone told me I should try it out. I was like, I love team sports and rugby kind of sounds cool. So I just started going to the rugby practices during plebe summer and I really enjoyed it. So I kept with it.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Now, you've mentioned soccer already. And I was kind of thinking, okay, compared to the other field sports like soccer and lacrosse, what is it that you like about rugby a little bit more?
A little bit more. Well, what I like about rugby that's kind of similar to soccer is that it's continuous play. Like in football, we pause every so seconds and we wait to play again. And that to me is kind of frustrating. But in rugby, it's like soccer where you just keep on playing. But unlike soccer, I personally enjoy the physicality of rugby. Just being able to pick people up or just hit people over. I think it's really unique about the sport. It's really scary at first, learning not only to hit people, but receiving hits. That's, if anything, that's the worst thing. But once you learn all the rules regarding it, it's just fun.
Right. Well, I would tell you that yesterday or the day before, as I was kind of getting ready for this, I jumped on YouTube and I pulled up just some rugby highlights and stuff like that. And it was frightening to me how hard some of these people were getting hit because you didn't have any real protection. I mean, do you wear anything in terms of pads or anything at all just to kind of absorb the blows?
No, you have no protection. Some people will decide to wear scrum caps if you see some people with these weird helmets on their head that are mostly just fabric. But that's not really for protection. It's only protection in the scrums. Scrums are when the eight forwards of each team bind up and they go head to head. So if you're positioned a lock or an eight man like me, you're putting your head in between two people's butts basically, and then you're pushing. And so a lot of time you can get quote unquote cauliflower ear because your ears just chafe so much. So that's what a scrum cap is for. It's just to keep your ears from not chafing. Besides that, there's no protection whatsoever.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. All right. So, you know, I don't want this to turn into a primer on how to play rugby, but I think it'd be kind of cool for the folks listening to understand, okay, how many different ways can you score points and what is each type of method worth in terms of points?
Oh, yes. So the classic way you score points is just getting a try or a touchdown. In football, their touchdown is you just like run into the end zone and that's your touchdown. But in rugby, you literally have to touch the ball down in the try zone, like make contact with the ball to the ground. And that would get you 5 points. And then also like in football, you can have like a conversion kick. So after that 5 points, if the person who makes the kick like makes it, then it's an extra 2 points. So and up to 7 points for each try. That's usually how people get points. The other way that we can typically get points is that if there's a penalty somewhere near the post for the try, then you can also opt to kick for points and get some extra points there.
All right, excellent. By the way, I did want to mention that this whole discussion that we're having right now has been about probably 6 months in planning, because I was trying to kind of connect her through last spring, actually. But I just realized how busy and hectic things are going to be for when you're trying out for the national team and so forth. So that was actually going to be my next question. You were invited to try out for the national team for the group that was going to be going to compete in the Olympics in Tokyo. I was wondering if you could share some of that experience. And how did, you know, what did you take away from that experience to kind of help prepare you for this season?
Yes. So I wasn't necessarily trying out for like the national team. I was invited to some training camps for their developmental side. So they have two sides in Chula Vista, California. That's where like all the training camps and their training is.
Okay.
So there's the developmental side and then there's like the senior side. And the senior side is like the pool that they draw to actually take to Tokyo. So I was invited to start on the developmental side. But developmental side or senior side, like those girls are some of the best rugby players I've played with my entire 4 years. It was Navy rugby. We're like a club sport. So I would say we're pretty intense for a club sport, but compared to like Olympic development, nowhere near as intense. We were practicing 3 times a day, very fast paced, lots of stuff, new stuff I was learning. And a chief difference is that usually Navy, we play rugby 15s. So 15s is 15v15 and it's an 80-minute game. But I was invited to rugby 7s. And so it's a 7v7 game and it's only a 14-minute game. So they're really fast paced. It's on the same field. So it's less people on the big same field. So a lot more running. So it's much different than I was used to. So the biggest thing I really learned, which kind of sounds weird, is passing. You would think, like, of course, passing is something that all rugby players should do. But in a 15s game, especially my position, I don't pass too much. And when I do pass, they're really small passes. But in 7s, like, it is like 10-meter-plus passing that you really have to whip it and get it out fast. And when I first got there, like, that was, like, the one thing I was struggling with. But by the end, I was invited to 2 camps, so a camp in April and a camp in June. And by the end of the June camp, I could say my passing like improved astronomically. So I was able to use that and bring it to 15. So I'm much more comfortable in that.
Awesome. Okay. So I've got to ask you, what was your best memory from that championship game?
So besides the end, when we heard the 3 whistles and the game was over and we realized we're national championships, but that, besides that moment, so in rugby, when there's a penalty, you kind of have like multiple options you can do. You can kick the ball out of bounds. And when you kick the ball out of bounds, like we throw it in and off a penalty, that throw in becomes yours. So you can like gain a whole bunch of yardage. But what you can also do off a penalty is a thing called a quick tap, where you kind of just like give the ball a little kick and you can pick it up and just like run. Mm-hmm. Because when there's a penalty, the other team has to get back 10 meters. But when the penalty is called, you don't have to wait for them. So what I like to do a lot in rugby is whenever there's a penalty call, like the second after I'm like tapping the ball, I'm just running, because if they try to tackle me before they get 10 meters, then it's another penalty for them. So I did that twice in the game, which I thought was very helpful. The first time I quick tapped and the girl didn't get back 10 meters and she ran into me and she got a yellow card. And so she was off the game for a while, which really helped us. And the second time I quick tapped, was literally 5+ meters from the try zone, and none of them were ready. So I was able to score a try. Oh. So quick tapping is one of my favorite things because nobody's ever ready if you try to do it really fast. So those were pretty good moments.
All right. Pretty cool. Now, next year, you're going to be in a country where rugby is a little bit more common. And I was just kind of curious to know where you are now when it comes to continuing to play.
Oh, yes. Okay. I really want to continue to play rugby in England. I'm kind of in between how competitive I want to do. I don't know if I want to try to do like intramural club level rugby, since I would assume rugby in England is a lot more competitive. Mm-hmm. The girls probably there have been playing since they were kids, like six year olds or whatever. So I'm thinking about either, you know, maybe playing it on a like lower competitive level, but I'm also thinking maybe like pushing myself and getting out of my comfort zone and actually trying out to see if I can get on like the Oxford team, like the Oxford University team for rugby. I think I'm going to try at least and see if I can like, you know, keep up with the girls.
Right, right. Okay. So yeah, you just mentioned Oxford. And of course, the reason you're going to be over there is you were recently selected as the Naval Academy's 54th Rhodes Scholar. Congratulations on that, by the way. I mean, that is just a huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
I did read up a little bit on the criteria that determines the Rhodes Scholarship. And one thing I was kind of curious to know is this a scholarship that you apply for? Or is it one where there's like various committees at the Academy that kind of look at different candidates and say, okay, the Rhodes Scholarship people are going to be contacting us, and they start scanning some records and so forth of like, you know, potentially qualified students. And they say, okay, Sarah, she's a good fit for this. Let's go ahead and put her in for that. Is that how that works, or do I got that all messed up?
It's more like the first way. So there's a program at the Naval Academy that you apply for in your second class or junior year, called Senior United Kingdom International Scholarship Program. And if you're interested in any graduate school options, either if that's in the UK, somewhere else in the world, or domestically, you apply for that program. And basically, it's a mentoring opportunity where you can talk with people who've done immediate graduate school education after the Naval Academy. And they kind of show you the different type of scholarships you can go up for. So from that pool, about 20 in my class, we're the people who usually apply for like the Rhodes Scholarships. So you apply by yourself, but you do have to get an endorsement from the Naval Academy. So there was a handful of us from that like 20 or so midshipmen that decided to apply for the Rhodes. But yes, it's mostly independent.
Okay. All right. Got it. So you chose surface warfare as your service selection, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm wondering how the whole scholarship fits in with that service commitment. Is it something where you studied Oxford first and then the commitment goes, or are they both concurrent?
So they recently changed it, so it's no longer concurrent. So I'll go to Oxford, I'll do my 2 years, but I also have to actually, since I'm doing 2 years immediately after Naval Academy, have extra commitment. So after those 2 years at Oxford, I'll serve a total of 10 years in the Navy.
Okay. So now for your honors research, and I'm going to quote here so I don't mess it up.
Yes.
You are, and I quote, evaluating the overall effectiveness of middle power nations and middle power institutions in mitigating hegemonic competition and conflict between the U.S. and China. Now, I read that and I thought, you know, I'm just a dumb engineer here, but I am a pretty curious person by nature. So I said, okay, this is just a little over my head. Let's Google it and see what I can come up with. So I took that clip, I punched it into Google, and it took about less than 200ths of a second or whatever to come up with about 2 million hits. Very first one on the list was an article that says, Naval Academy Rhodes Scholar to do her research project on what yeah. I just said. So here I'm looking at this. So basically, Google is telling me, all right, if you want to know about this topic, get a hold of Sarah Skinner.
No. There's been 10,000 people before me who have written on great power rivalry and like middle power institutions, but I'm honored though.
So how did you decide on that?
So it's kind of weird as well. I feel like a lot of my decisions kind of have just been, I've run into them. I was in my Asian international politics class. And I already had planned to do honors, and I didn't know what I wanted my question to be, but my faculty advisor that I had chosen was actually my professor for that class. And we were discussing middle power nations and institutions. Just so people know, middle power institutions and nations are just countries that kind of, they're below like superpowers like the US and China, but they have more influence and more resources than like smaller powers. And examples of those would be like Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, just so people can have a nation in mind. Mm-hmm. So I was just asking a question about it. And I was like, sir, do you think nations like Singapore, Malaysia, or institutions like the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, are they able to handle and mitigate like salient security issues, like such as like US-China great power competition, like in the South China Sea, or when it relates to Indo-Pacific strategy, because they're not great powers themselves. So is there any type of influence there? And I just asked him that question. He looked at me, he's like, you know what, that's a good honor thesis project. And that okay. was it. And I was all like, right. Okay, so I guess I'll research that.
All right, pretty awesome. So now when you get over to England and you're studying at Oxford, you are going to be looking to pursue a master's of philosophy and international relations, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm familiar with majoring or getting a master's in one or the other. How do the two of them together work? I've never seen them linked before. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So this is something I think is very unique to Oxford. A lot of their master programs are masters of philosophy. For the Master of Philosophy and International Relations, I think it's termed that way because it really dives deep into like the theories and like concepts that govern international theories. And we ask those kind of like big questions of like realism, liberalism, constructivism. Those are some like big like IR theories. And it really dives deep as well into kind of preparing you to get ready to like conduct your research on those big questions. So that's why it's more of that like philosophical side of international relations.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. I've covered most of the questions that I wanted to. I did want to just ask one more, and I typically always do this with folks that I have come on, and that is there anything that I haven't covered that you would want people to know about specifically, whether it's about what you're going to be doing, you know, at Oxford or any kind of future plans?
Future plans. I've been told, I've been given some good advice lately, since a lot of people have reached out after the whole Rhodes thing. And I got some good advice from one person saying just to enjoy what's in front of me right now. Mm-hmm. When you look ahead at like Rhodes and Oxford, like those are very exciting things. But I don't also want to forget that I still have one more semester at the Naval Academy, right. And I hope to make it my best semester and make some good memories while it lasts.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So we're just about finished here. I'm going to finish up with about five or six quick questions just to kind of get, you know, a quick response from you. And I like to ask this, especially from current mids when I can, just to see how much things have changed since I've been there. Okay. So first of all, favorite King Hall meal?
Very unpopular opinion, but I like the Italian sausages.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Least favorite meal?
Chicken and rice. We had chicken and rice about every single day during COVID. So I'm done with it.
Okay. Toughest drill that you do in practice or the toughest part of practice?
We do like defensive alignment drills, and one of our coaches is obsessed with burpees. So he likes to incorporate burpees into our defensive alignment drills a lot. So whenever we do that, that's the worst thing because I'm so tired by the end.
Okay. All right. first place you want to visit in England when you get a chance to do some sightseeing?
Oh, I definitely want to go to London. I've been to London once before, but I love big cities, so London's the first on that list.
Okay, fair enough. And finally, the professor who influenced you most at the academy and why?
Lieutenant Commander Yeager. She was my plebe government professor. She also did graduate education. She went to Cambridge. But I really enjoyed her class, and she was the one who told me at the end of my plebe year, that I would be good for any graduate school. And she basically has mentored me these past 3+ years and applying for the Rhodes, for the Marshall, for other opportunities. And she was my number one like motivator and inspiration to do all of this. So I literally have to give all credit to her for where I am right now.
All right. That's really great to hear. Listen, Sarah, that brings us to the end of our conversation. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Navy Sports Central. I know how busy things can get this time of year, so I really, really appreciate you squeezing us in.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much.
Okay, that was Sarah Skinner from the class of 22. She is the co-captain of the National Champion Navy Women's Rugby Team and the Naval Academy's 54th Rhodes Scholar. This looks like a good spot to step away for a break. We will return shortly with our question of the day and our mid-watch segments. All right, welcome back to Navy Sports Central. Carl Darden here with you, and now it's time for our question of the day. And as usual, we're going to go ahead and revisit our previous one that focused on women's basketball. And if you remember, the question was, how many more times do you think Jennifer Coleman will score 20 or more points in the 20 remaining games on the schedule? And the choices I gave you were 5 to 8 times, 9 to 12 times, 13 to 16, and then finally 17 to 20. And looking at the results, most of you landed on 13 to 16 more times. There were 13 of you who chose that option. And then we had one vote each for 5 to 8, 9 to 12, and 17 to 20 times. So just to keep you updated, the team has played 2 games since that question was asked, and Coleman scored 30 and 27 points in both of them. So she's on track to match any of those choices. But I think the 13 to 16 games is a pretty good choice. And I say that because you got to know opposing defenses are going to start really focusing on Coleman until they see another legitimate scoring threat that's out there to support her. And after seeing the results of that Ryder game, you know, Sydney Watts could be one of those to take the heat off of her. We'll just have to see once they start getting into their Patriot League schedule. Now it's time for this week's question, and it's about rugby. Here it is. While this is the Navy women's rugby team's first national championship, it's not their first trip to the championship game. When was the last time the Mids played for the CRAA Women's Rugby Championship? And your choices are 2007, 2011, 2016, or 2019. And I'll have the question up on our group Facebook page later today, so you can look for it there and share your answer. All right, let's go ahead and roll into our mid-watch segment. The two winter sports we'll be focusing on are women's indoor track and also wrestling. And the track athlete we'll be following is Molly Mangan. Molly is a junior from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she competes in the sprints and sprint relays. She can cover distances ranging from 60 meters indoors all the way up to 400 meters. In the Army Star meet last year, Molly won the 60-meter dash, the 200 meters, and also anchored the 4x400-meter relay team, and she led the women to a 98-83 win. The women's first dual meet is on January the 15th versus Princeton. The team has been idle ever since the Navy Invitational over 3 weeks ago, so you got to know that they're going to be ready to get back out there on the track and compete. On the men's side, we're going to be following Navy wrestler Andrew Cerniglia. He is a sophomore from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, and Andrew wrestles at 157 pounds and is currently ranked 18th in the country. Last year, with the star on the line against Army, Coach Kerry Colott slotted Cerniglia to wrestle in the last match of the meet. And remember, you know, last spring he was just a freshman, and the Mids were trying to end a 4-match losing streak, so there was definitely some pressure there. So they needed Cerniglia to win to take the star, and he delivered in a huge way. The match wasn't even close. Cerniglia was the aggressor from the start, and he jumped out to like an 8-0 lead before closing out his opponent 14-3. ESPN Plus is going to be carrying a lot of these Navy wrestling matches, I think, and Cerniglia is going to be really fun to watch. He's already off to a really great start this season, taking first place in both the Clarion and Bearcat Invitationals back in November, and he also won his match in that dual meet against Maryland. The next time Cerniglia will be on the mat is on January 15th versus Lehigh, and that is a big-time program. So Navy knocked them off last year in what a lot of people considered a surprise. So again, ESPN Plus will be streaming this match, so if you get a chance, you'll definitely want to check him out. So those are the two athletes we'll be watching during the winter sports season. Okay, we're about ready to wrap things up here, but I thought since this was the last show of the calendar year that I'd do something that I hope you guys get a kick out of. I went back and was listening to several of the episodes and came up with my top five funniest moments on the Navy Sports Central podcast in 2021. So I'm going to go ahead and count them down from number five all the way through number one, and I'd be curious to hear what you guys think. So here we go. At number five from episode 11, we have Ginger Rice talking about her favorite running shoe compared to the state-of-the-art model that we had available at the Naval Academy in the early 80s. Favorite running shoe. What's your running shoe of choice?
Asics Gel Cayenne. Mm-hmm. I pronate a little bit, which means your foot goes in a little as you run, and they're very good for pronation. And I've been wearing them probably for the last 15 years, 20 years since they've been making them. Mm-hmm. Now at the Academy, we ran in our Brooks. I think they were the Brooks that we got issued. Yeah. At least it wasn't those kid sneakers that they issued us.
Right. Coming in at number four from episode 9, Navy Hall of Fame linebacker Andy Ponciego thinks it's time for a major rule change. One rule related to college football defense that you would change right now if you could.
Pass interference.
Okay. I totally agree with you there.
I think defense should be able to have more freedom to assault the offensive guy.
At number three from episode 20, Navy basketball standout Becky Lewis shares her first thoughts after arriving in Annapolis for plebe summer. All right, cool. So now you've got the nomination, that all-important ticket to the dance, as I like to call it. What happened next?
Then Coach Molly shepherded my appointment offer. And the next thing I know, I'm showing up on I-Day, never having visited the Naval Academy.
Oh, is that right?
Never been to Annapolis. No, it was my backup school, and that's how I turned out. So I had my basketball sneakers, had my gym bag, you know, and I was like, okay, where's the court? You know, it was a bit of a rude awakening, but you know, I survived.
At number two from episode 12, we have Navy lightweight rowing coach Sean Bagnell comparing the talent on each year's incoming team to Christmas morning. So, Coach, how does this team look to you going into the fall based on what you know right now?
Yeah, no, great question. Like I said, it's a little like Christmas. We'll see what the package is like. I joke that it's either going to be a puppy dog and we're all going to be really happy, or it'll be, you know, socks and underwear. Like, we'll be like, you know, okay, you know, not the greatest Christmas gift.
And finally, coming in at number one on our list of top five funniest moments on the Navy Sports Central podcast, from episode 16, former Navy soccer player Chris McKenna shares a story that sounds like it could have come straight out of Law and Order. Okay, funniest thing you've seen happen in a soccer game you were playing in at any level. It could even be down to youth soccer.
Funniest thing. I don't know if it's funny. I guess strange. When I was playing club ball as a teenager, I was probably about 16 or 17, and we were playing out in Queens. We were playing a team from Queens, and at one point, a couple of police cars rolled up to the field. They powwowed with the referee. The referee blew the whistle, stopped the game. The police came onto the field and arrested one of the players on the other team, put him in handcuffs. Perp walked him over to the car and drove off, and the ref blew the whistle. The other team replaced that player with another player, and we continued the game. So that's the strangest thing that's ever happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's going to be a tough one to top. So that does it for the top five funniest moments on the Navy Sports Central podcast for 2021. Looking forward to bringing you a lot more of those in the coming year. Just about at the end of the road here, but I did want to mention one more thing to you, and I'll give you a heads up when that particular episode airs. But I was asked to be a guest on a podcast episode very recently, and the host name is Mark Maraday. He puts out a show called The Original Sports Podcast, and Mark is from Frederick, Maryland. That's where he does a show out of, but he's a big-time follower of the Pitt Panthers, and he does track the Naval Academy sports since he's, you know, basically about an hour away or so. Anyway, we had a really great conversation. I had a chance to promote Navy athletics. And like I said, when he gives me a heads up, I'll let you guys know so you can listen to that particular podcast. It was a lot of fun to do. That's going to do it for this edition of Navy Sports Central. Thank you all so much for joining us. Now, if you like what you've heard, make sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and remember to spread the word to all the other Navy fans out there. Thanks again to Sarah Skinner from the Class of 22 for sharing her experiences with the National Champion Navy Women's Rugby Team, and we wish her the very best of luck next fall as she begins her graduate work as a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford University. We have been getting a great response to our question of the day, so if you want to jump in on that, just go to the Navy Sports Nation Group Facebook page. I will go ahead and pin it to the top so you won't miss it. And just a quick reminder, the views expressed on Navy Sports Central are my own and do not reflect those of the U.S. Naval Academy or Navy Athletics. By the way, the music used in Navy Sports Central comes to you courtesy of Audio Jungle. This is a great site for purchasing the rights to use music from thousands of artists around the world, and those we feature in the podcast will be credited in our show notes. Talk to you soon, everybody. Until next time, this is Carl Darden. Go Navy, beat Army.